WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Christmas is just days away, as you surely know, and the final push to find presents is on.
Oh, shoot. Christmas is in a few days.
That's prompting a last-minute scramble this weekend to pick up the right gifts for family and friends. This year could bring record holiday sales, with Americans expected to shell out more than $201 billion, 10% more than last year. Consumers are spending an average of $925 on gifts. Wendy Gillette, CBS News, New York.
The app TikTok is supposed to shut down in the U.S. on January 19th, the day before Donald Trump is inaugurated for a second time. Today, he told a conservative conference that maybe TikTok shouldn't be banned.
We won by 36 points with young people. That never happens. A Republican loses by 36 or 40. So I'm going to have to start thinking about TikTok. I think we're going to have to start thinking.
Police have shot and killed a man who drove his car into the Killeen Mall in Central Texas. KWTX-TV reporter Madison Herber is there.
Four people were taken to the hospital as a result of injuries they received from being inside JCPenney when the car ran through the building. And then there was another person that walked away from the scene with injuries but drove themselves to the hospital. And that's how officials learned that there were actually five victims, and their ages range from 6 to 75 years old.
Whatever Americans are being told about who is flying those drones that have been seen over the Northeast, they don't believe it. CBS News Deputy Director of Surveys Jennifer DePinto with results of new polling on the issue.
Most Americans, 78%, think the U.S. government is keeping information it knows from the public regarding unidentified drones flying over the East Coast. Americans have a range of theories about who is most likely controlling the drones, with the U.S. government the most suspected.
The cold from the mid-Atlantic up into New England on this busiest travel day of the season is about to ease up, says CBS News meteorologist Craig Allen.
The temperatures are moderating now, getting out of the bitter chill that we had over the eastern half of the United States for the last, let's say, 24, 48 hours or so. And so this is going to help over the next several days. There are no signs of that kind of bitter cold coming back.
Just days before families and friends gather for the holidays, there are concerning new numbers about the flu. CBS News New York reporter Ali Bauman has more on the CDC's warning for Americans.
The CDC says flu activity is increasing in all regions and all age groups across the country. And with millions on the move this holiday week, doctors are warning we may soon hit the peak of flu season.
This is CBS News.
Steel holiday savings are here. Find the perfect gift at your local Steel dealer or shop the Steel holiday gift guide at steelusa.com. That's STIHLUSA.com.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Wisconsin is grieving after Monday's school shooting. And on top of that, people have their own struggles, dealing with a death or broken relationships or just being physically far away from loved ones. It can make it feel like there's a cloud over the holidays. Crystal Blair reports.
According to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, 64% of people with depression report the holidays just make them feel worse. Corewell Health psychiatrist Dr. Ebrahim Sablaban offers a surprising insight. He says sadness is one of the most universal human emotions and should be embraced.
The worst thing somebody can do is really try to suppress feeling human, really suppress feeling lonely, feeling sad, feeling a sense of loss. It's very easy to say, oh, I need to get my mind off of so-and-so who passed away, but that's not the healthy way forward.
If you or someone you know is struggling with a mental health crisis, help is available 24/7. Call or text 988, the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, to connect with someone for free and confidential support. While many enjoy snowy holiday scenes, the state's long winters and reduced daylight can also worsen depression, especially for those with seasonal affective disorder. Dr. Sablaban advises sharing emotions with trusted family and friends and reflecting on happy memories of loved ones.
To be able to embrace the traditions and the things that you shared with that individual even if they're not in your presence, to be able to keep those things alive.
Mental health professionals also emphasize that while family traditions can provide comfort and remembrance, it's okay to let go if they become too painful. Explore new ways to celebrate, and over time, new traditions will naturally evolve. I'm Crystal Blair.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Cloudy skies today, a south to southeast wind, 5 to 15, with highs in the lower 30s. Tonight, a wintry mix of some snow and light freezing rain, temperatures in the upper 20s, little to no ice or snow accumulation expected. Currently 26 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, political consultant Joe Sopecki joins us and another edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to the show. Oh my goodness, another week is gone. These go so fast. It's just insane how quickly these weeks go. And now we're post the campaign and we're on to hopefully doing good things for the people of this state. And I've got, let me tell you guys, we have an incredible show. We got two amazing guests. The first one is, oh my God, I'm so excited. We've been trying to get around for so long. When she was here before, three-time Senate champ. Come on, let's hear it. I can hear your applause here. Yes, three-time Senate champ. Your friend and mine are wonderful. Senator Tammy Baldwin is back. Hi, you won.
Hi.
Yes, you won.
Yes, we did. Oh my gosh, what a team effort. it's great to join you again.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. And I have to say, before we get into it, I was so proud to cast my vote for you. And it really was an amazing thing that even though the top of the ticket, we didn't really get what we wanted. But I'm so grateful that we're sending you back to Wisconsin. I think it speaks so highly of what you do and how you carry yourself and how you work tirelessly for our family. So thank you for finishing the goal and crossing the finish line and you're back.
Yes, well, I appreciate that so much. And you know, I approach the campaign much as I do my role as a senator, which is really working hard to travel all over the state and listening and understanding what people's challenges are, as well as their aspirations, and then getting to work and delivering. And so it is super important to me to not just hang around in blue counties, but to go to deep red counties and purple areas and rural Wisconsin, suburban Wisconsin, urban Wisconsin. Just showing up matters. And that's how I serve as a senator, but it's also how I operated as a candidate for reelection.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I would hope that in the next 2 years when we have some, you know, some congressional races that I think could be, you know, rather important to the balance of power here, that we can kind of take some of the Tammy Baldwin secret sauce and get more of our, you know, we're 2-6 right now in the state, but we're a 50-50 state. You know,
exactly.
We got to change that. What about you you've been not a rock star in Wisconsin.
Well, it's that showing up. That's exactly what matters. And, you know, I will say in terms of representation, Wisconsin has for a long time had very gerrymandered maps. And so even though, again, you cite we're a 50-50 state, We have so many statewide races that are decided by razor-thin margins, as my own was in this race.
Yeah.
But yet we had a state legislature that was 2/3 Republican, 1/3 Democrat, until we got fair maps. Mm-hmm. And now that we have fair maps, the state legislature is going to look quite different when it's sworn in January. It's not 50-50 yet, but it's much closer to that. But you know what? When they dealt with the gerrymandered state legislative maps, they did not deal with the congressional maps in the state. And so they're still pretty gerrymandered. And again, you point out we're a 50-50 state in statewide races, but we have, out of the 8 congressional seats, there are 6 Republicans and 2 Democrats. So that isn't really reflective of the voting population of our state.
Do you think there's something we can do about that?
Well, I think there may be litigation, and maybe it can be resolved in much the same way the state legislative maps were, in that what the court said, our state Supreme Court said, was these current gerrymandered maps, they're unconstitutional. And the best way to resolve this would be for the legislature to pass new maps, which is what ended up happening. It wasn't the court that got rid of the gerrymandered maps. Right. It was the state legislature itself. That would be the best way of resolving this. But if not, the courts can look at redrawing them if they find that they are gerrymandered.
What do the next 2 years look like in Washington?
Yeah, you know, I'm giving deep thought to that right now.
Right.
As you can imagine, we're just winding up our session for this year. And on January 3rd, the new Congress will be sworn in. Both houses of Congress will be led by Republicans. But in both houses, also a fairly narrow margin. And I always look at what I can accomplish in a bipartisan manner. Because, you know, in the Senate, with the filibuster, you need a supermajority to pass legislation. You need 60 votes, not just a simple majority of 51. And so one of the things I do every 2 years when we have new members joining the body is I look particularly at the Republicans in the incoming class, and I say, what are their states like? What similarities do the states they come from have with Wisconsin? Are they industrial states? Are they agricultural states? What did the newcomers run on? What were they talking about in their campaigns? And if they held lower office before, the next question is, what bills did they work on? What did they introduce? And I almost always, in that review process, find common ground. And, of course, the next step is to get together with them and say, congratulations, you just won a seat in the United States Senate. You've just been sworn in. It seems like you're interested in the following issues, and I'm super interested in those, too, on behalf of Wisconsin. Maybe we can work together. And interestingly enough, I mean, I've done that many times in the past, and a bill that just passed the Senate unanimously a few weeks ago, the Invent Here, Make Here bill, is one that I lead with J.D. Vance, the vice president-elect.
Isn't that crazy?
And people look at how did the two of you end up working on this together? Mm-hmm. And it's like, it was exactly how I just described it. You know, Ohio is a manufacturing state just like Wisconsin. And we also both had a real eye to making sure that China doesn't cheat economically, costing us jobs. And this bill fit both of those priorities for J.D. Vance and myself. And we ended up working together on it. And, of course, it ended up passing the Senate. We haven't gotten it through the House yet, so we're still working there. But that's just an example, and I'll be doing that, which gives me hope that there are some issues that we'll be able to make progress on. But I do also know, you know, when I fight for Wisconsin, that also sometimes means standing up to whether it'll be President-elect Trump or some in the Republican Party when they're pushing things that are bad for Wisconsin. Right. And I'll be doing that too. But I think we can do both. We can figure out the ways to work together and then stand up when the proposals are not in Wisconsin's best interest.
Now, you do have a bill on the president's desk for a signature.
I do.
Let's talk about that for a moment. I want to hear about this.
Well, it's what we call the CVSO Act. So for those who don't know this, CVSO stands for County Veterans Service Officer. We work so closely with the County Veterans Service Office in each of the counties and tribes in the state of Wisconsin. Oftentimes for a veteran or somebody who's returning to civilian life after their service, the County Veterans Service Officer is their first contact to connect them with VA services and programs like the GI Bill or health care benefits that they may or may not know that they have earned. And so these County Veterans Service Officers are incredibly important. And they connect people with federal services and programs as well as state veterans programs. But you know what? There's not a penny of federal support for those folks. Wow. And when a county budget is strapped, oftentimes you see them making cuts to those veteran service offices. And so what this bill does is help support those officers in serving our nation's veterans and our state's veterans. And I just want to share one story of that was just really, really remarkable. You know, we do casework with veterans who are having challenges cutting through red tape with the VA. But we had a couple of veterans come to our office saying that they believed that they had been misdiagnosed during an exam for traumatic brain injury and actually had to get a second opinion in the in the private healthcare system, which contradicted the misdiagnosis that they got through the VA. Well, it turned out after checking in with several county veteran service officers, they were hearing this, and it wasn't just from one veteran or two veterans. It became a real pattern. And these veteran service officers helped sound the alarm about a doctor who was misdiagnosing veterans who were suffering from traumatic brain injuries. And because these advocates helped raise the alarm on this issue, we were able to finally get the VA to reexamine actually hundreds of cases.
Wow.
And now well over 100 veterans have been had reexams and have been now connected with the healthcare services that they earned and deserve. And they have also gotten retroactive disability pay.
Oh, that's amazing.
To the tune of over $4 million.
Wow. Well,
you know, none of that would have happened without this partnership that we have with the county veteran service officers, who are veterans themselves, by the way.
That's amazing. Senator Baldwin, thank you. Thank you so much for what you do. Thank you so much for winning in November. And thank you so much for serving us again for 6 years. And I hope to have you again soon.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you so much. We'll be back here after this.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, revolutionaries, I guess. You know, hey, what's up? So thank you, Tammy Baldwin. That was amazing. She's incredible. We're so lucky to have her here in Wisconsin. I told you I have two powerhouse guests. And so the other guy, he's here in studio.
Yay.
The representative-elect.
That's right.
Holy cow. You won, too.
I know.
Ahmad Rivera-Wagner. What is up?
Living the life.
Yes.
It's like the first beautiful snow.
Yes. We're recording this, and it is the winter storm that is here.
Yeah.
Winter storm is upon us.
And I am nowhere next to as cool or as powerhouse as Tammy Baldwin. So the fact that I even get to be on the same show at the same time.
Oh, stop it. Yeah.
It's kind of cool. But, you know, beautiful day.
Yes.
Great guest.
Yes.
And a lot going on.
There is a lot going on. There really is. You know, and you won.
Yeah. It was.
That's pretty cool.
You know.
How was the election night?
Kind of wild. It was a late night.
It was.
And so the funny quick story is the county had decided for the first time ever to do partial results.
Yes.
And so what happened is that people weren't used to that. So all of a sudden, around midnight, there were partial results, but people thought that they were the final results.
Right.
So everybody was like freaking out. So my phone was blowing up saying,
I probably did that.
to be fair. They were like, oh, like, are these the right numbers? I was like, no, like they haven't counted the absentee ballot. But I knew that.
Right.
Because I'm a government policy nerd.
Right.
But no one else did. So I was getting calls from all over the country about the presidential race, about the race, about the state Senate race, my race, the other rep race, because none of these were called.
Yeah.
Because they were waiting on Green Bay and Milwaukee. And so heart attack, stressed.
Yeah.
But then, you know, elation. I mean, the idea that a formerly homeless kid who fell in love with a dairy farmer and lives in the community of his dreams gets to represent them on Capitol Hill is just kind of, you know, at the Capitol is just absolutely incredible, right?
That's pretty badass American story, my friend, isn't it?
Yeah. I feel like, you know, it's a special honor.
Yeah.
I want to continuously make the people of Green Bay and the 90th proud because I think we're a special bunch. But the truth is I'm lucky and thankful to the people of the 90th for electing me.
Yeah, and that was we're thankful too. You know, that's they did the right thing. So yeah, well, I'm not unbiased there. They did the right thing. How has it been since Election Day? I'm sure, like, because I've heard stories of, okay, you get elected, and then you're like, oh, okay, now time to wait. What? There's a handbook. There's a what now? You know, and so it's like. You go from, you're going 100 miles an hour, but now it's like you're going 200.
Right. So people forget this. I went back to work.
Right. Yeah. Right, you have a job.
So I left campaigning full time to go back to work full time as the mayor's chief of staff.
Right.
So still helping to run the city while also getting prepped and prepared to serve the community. And really great things on both sides, on both sides of that work. You know, the cool part is I went to the Capitol for new member orientation.
I saw some pictures. How cool.
It was so cool. Yeah. And then, you know, it's funny because, you know, people who've been in the building probably, you know, they think there's good and bad offices. I walked in and I was like, this is the most beautiful building.
It is, yeah.
I've ever had an office in.
Right.
To me, there are no bad offices.
You have an office in the Capitol.
I have an office in the Capitol. Yeah. I just was deeply emotional.
I would have been overwhelmed, really.
So it was beautiful to see that. I got to meet my colleagues, both my Democratic colleagues and my Republican colleagues. We had a lot of fun hanging out, getting to know some of the basics of how the machinations of local government work. I mean, sorry, state government work inside the building. We have to fix that in my brain. And so we spent almost nearly a week there just getting to know each other, but also how does the legislative bureau work? How do you get business cards and start websites? But how do you do constituent services? How do you make sure that bills are being tracked? And how do you hire staff? And so it's been fun.
You got to hire people.
So I had to hire someone.
Did you do that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
But we'll wait until it's all final.
Okay.
Maybe I'll come on the show for like a he's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's great, but I can't. Not yet.
Okay.
They have to sign the dotted line. But got we had to hire staff, pick offices, talk about committees, which we want to be on.
Wow.
Legislation that we're interested in building. Building rapport with my new colleagues. We're planning in district swearing in ceremony. We're most likely going to have several state reps and a state senator right here in the community, so people don't have to go to Madison.
That's cool.
We get sworn in on January 6th, so we talk through January 6th, which is, you know,
like
talk about that date.
I was like, oh god,
talk about ironies.
No kidding.
We can get into how ironic that is, particularly for me. But it was a lot of fun. And then,
how ironic is it?
So, you know, I've told this story on your show before, but part of the reason I ended up running for office here, not only just because I love this community and I think I can do a good job, but on January 6th, you know, 4 years ago, people protested outside City Hall calling for a white supremacy group to come get me, Celestine Jeffries, and the mayor with our names, potentially.
Yeah, you were a huge target.
Right. Claiming that I work for Facebook, and that potentially means that I was worthy of death. Mm-hmm. And so to go from that level of vitriol, which I knew wasn't representative of this amazing community, knew that that didn't represent who we were, but it motivated me to not only get closer to our community, but to want to run for office to show so many other people that we are a community that wants to get closer together, support each other, lift each other up, and that election denialism, no matter who's elected, shouldn't have any place here. But threats and harassment of local officials, just because we don't like what they're doing or what they may or may not believe in, shouldn't equal death threats. Disagreement shouldn't equal death threats. And I think what's really powerful is that we ran a whole campaign on taking care of each other, lifting each other up, focusing on policy, and building a Green Bay for everyone. And we won.
Yeah, it was really a neat thing. We're talking with Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner, assembly representative-elect for the 90th that represents Green Bay. It was election night was very, God, there were so many takeaways, good and bad.
Yeah, and, you know, as I want to remind people, Green Bay actually got a tad bit bluer.
Yeah.
That Harris actually got more votes than Biden did in 2020.
Yeah, that's great.
That we had the highest turnout, I believe, among college students. That actually, that district, that ward that's in my district, actually got more blue, the most blue in the state. And so there are all kinds of takeaways, right? There are things that happen statewide. But one of the things I think is really powerful about what happened here in Green Bay, people are kind of tired of the chaos and conspiracy theories. It's not about right and left. It's about, are you pro-Green Bay or not pro-Green Bay?
Right.
And I think even with a Trump wave, everywhere else in Green Bay, Wisconsin, there was a deep interest in saying, we're kind of tired of the chaos.
Yeah.
We want better folks who are going to do a better job for the most people or all people, and not people who are going to pick their friends to take care of them.
Yeah, and I think that's what's so cool about, you know, kind of your message and some of the other ones that ran is it matches what we say on the show is it's not about left versus right. It's about right versus wrong.
Right. 100%.
You know, and that's freaking cool. And I think that with some of the experience that you've had over the last years, you know, in local government that doesn't have labels. I mean, and some of the some of the city council folks, I mean, you know where they stand, but at the end of the day, there is no Republican or Democrat behind their name, and you really have to work together to get things done. We're going to continue the discussion here on the other side with our friend, mine and yours, Assembly Representative-elect Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner here on The Rational Revolution.
.5 The Tap.
CBS News brief. Many Democrats say they're not looking forward to next year. CBS News Deputy Director of Surveys Jennifer DePinto tells us why.
Among those who feel discouraged about next year, a group that includes a lot of Democrats, their top reason for feeling that way is Donald Trump becoming president.
Many of us shop online, but some of us want to touch and feel what we're buying. Rashawn Davis leads a community-oriented retail space in Sacramento, California.
It's not just like you're sitting in front of your computer and you're just, you know, on the screen. It's like you get to have one-on-one connection. You get to, like, touch, feel, put things back on the shelf, on the shelf.
Mostly smooth sailing on this busiest travel day of the holiday season, says CBS News meteorologist Craig Allen. But
the worst of the weather is definitely going to be across the northwestern portions of the United States, from Northern California on up to Washington State. There will be some high elevation snows that do start spreading on into the Northern Rockies.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Packers get ready for Monday night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the New Orleans Saints. Green Bay will be without safety Javon Bullard and linebacker Quay Walker, both with ankle injuries. Jaire Alexander practiced all week but remains questionable. But Matt LaFleur says, knock on wood, right now the team's pretty healthy.
I just think that this is such an unpredictable sport in regards to when guys get injured or whatnot. So we just... we're in a good spot right now.
NBA, the Bucks beat the Wizards 112-101. Bobby Portis with 34 points for Milwaukee. College hoops, Marquette held on to win on the road at Xavier 72-70. Cam Jones had 20 points. Head coach Shaka Smart, though, asked how he would grade him.
B minus. I'm hard on him. There's nobody I'd rather have in the country. I wouldn't trade anyone for Cam Jones, but he can be better. He can be more efficient. He has to understand that if he doesn't have an angle, he's got to get to 2 feet. And he's got to be strong with the ball.
That's Marquette head coach Shaka Smart with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Cloudy skies today. A south to southeast wind 5 to 15 with highs in the lower 30s. Tonight, a wintry mix of some snow and light freezing rain. Temperatures in the upper 20s. Little to no ice or snow accumulation expected. Right now, it's 28.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams was denied access to over $4 million in matching public funding for his 2025 campaign due to questions over an ongoing federal investigation and accusations of financial mismanagement. The U.S. Department of Justice filed charges against the mayor in September, charging him with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He is also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal these transactions, according to the DOJ. The New York City Campaign Finance Board ruled December 16th that Mayor Adams' request for $4.5 million in matching funds would be denied. The chair of the board said in a statement, "After thoroughly reviewing all available information, including the details of the indictment of Mayor Adams, the board has determined there is reason to believe the Adams campaign has engaged in conduct detrimental to the matching funds program in violation of law, including the Campaign Finance Act and board rules." New York City's campaign finance system provides an 8-to-1 match for small donations of $250 or less for mayor and $175 for city council. Such small donor financing systems promote transparency, discourage big money, and encourage less affluent candidates to run. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments, and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for an all-new live show. We'll preview the big Monday night football game, the Green Bay Packers. Brady Ewing will be here, and many more surprises. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. One of the things that's so cool about being able to do this show is I get to talk with my friends, and we get to make friends here together on the radio. And one of the things I've been so really appreciative of is getting to know you and seeing your passion and seeing, you know, you through what you're doing now to what you're going to be doing here in a few short weeks as we talk with Representative-elect Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner from the wonderful 90th here.
Yay.
Yay. So we had another one of our friends on, Chris Alfheim, who is a former host of the show and now state senator-elect. And one of the most interesting things that I got to talk to her about is like, holy crap, you have it's a new life.
Yeah.
You know, like, I asked her about what, you know, how is life changing? A lot of people that, you know, they have like an apartment, she's not going to do that right away. Like your life is like, boom, taken upside down and shaking around. And what is it like now for you and your husband? And,
Number one thing was we were talking about what kind of daycare we're going to have for our golden doodle.
So we were like, right?
You know, I mean, other than...
Is he going to join you down there for as much as he can?
We're hoping.
Oh, cool. Good.
Technically, dogs are not allowed, but, you know, I'm not always a great rule follower.
I'm not either.
So we'll see what happens.
No, don't follow the rule. Other than absolutely not.
Major important public policies, some of the logistics have been interesting. You know, we're going to have a local office here. So one of the things I'm
really
proud of. Yeah. So we
good for you.
So we decided that my team, and then we talked with Senator-elect Jamie Wall and Senator-elect Ryan Spouty.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a joint office here in Green Bay.
Oh, how cool.
Because here's the thing we talked about. We don't want to make people feel like they have to go to Madison.
Yes.
To talk and get work done.
What a great idea.
And so I know, revolutionary.
Yeah.
That we just think
it's not been done.
Right. The weird part, it hasn't. And so we just think it should be easy to talk to your state rep, your state senator. We want to have people here. So my commitment to this community wasn't that I was going to go here to go to Madison. It was that I wanted to bring more of Green Bay to Madison.
That's
and if
cool.
not, bring Madison to Green Bay. And so we're thinking, we are already working on finding a local office. We'll all have it. We're thinking about having hearings and forums here. So I'm not going to get an apartment in Madison. I'm not interested in that. There is like a per diem, so we might, if there's long days and nights, we do get to stay the night. But my plan right now is I'd rather commute because my bosses live here.
Yeah.
The people who elect me, the people who want me to work on things that they want me to work on, building kind of this economy for everybody and policy that works for all, needs me to be in community with folks and not just spend my time in, albeit gorgeous, stunning building.
Yes.
I think I have an amazing office. But, you know, my goal is really to make government more accessible to the 90th. And so I deeply believe that. So, yes, some changes. I got to figure out the dogs.
Right.
I might have some dinners or date nights with my husband. Might actually have to be in Madison.
Yeah. Hey.
And not in Green
Bay. Restaurants
aren't
bad there.
That's right.
That's right.
And so I'm excited. You know, I'm most interested in when it's bad weather.
Yeah, like today. I would not want to drive back.
What's the plan?
Well, you know, so we could take a page out of another friend of the show, Rob Coles.
Yeah.
And he was very, very well known for being, you know, very tight of penny pincher. He had a cot in his office, swear to God. Yes, and so he took that per diem, and he's got his cot in his office. Uh-huh. You could do that.
I mean, I
might be a little much.
Yeah, you know, the creature comforts. You know, I have a nice, you know, I don't need a cot.
Yeah.
But I might, if there's bad
maybe a
weather,
nice futon or something.
Yeah, you know? There are some beautiful couches there.
That's right. Yeah,
I'm hoping that my office doesn't serve as a hostel. But,
yeah. So could you spend most of your time in Green Bay and work remotely and do some of that stuff?
Yes, but you know, there's some things we have to be there for.
Yeah, well,
there are some real fourth sessions that we have to be there because a vote can be called.
Yeah.
So there are times that we need to and have to be in Madison. That could be sometimes twice a week, sometimes it could be three times a week, sometimes it could be four times a week. That really will depend. I just don't think it's worthwhile to have a place there when I want to be coming back to my district, back
right.
to my family.
My family,
This sounds so cheesy, and I know people are probably sick of me saying all this stuff, but all the things I love are here.
Yeah.
If I wanted to spend all my time in Madison, that's not where we would have made a permanent home. We would have made a permanent home there, not here. And who I love, who I like spend time with, the people I care about, the people I represent are all here in Green Bay. And we're the number one place to live in the United States.
Yeah.
I love Madison. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Great restaurants. Yeah. Great, some great bar scenes.
Uh-huh.
But at the end of the day, I like.
Yeah.
I know it's cheesy. Please don't mock me. But it is. I like being here.
And that's awesome. And I think that's what you want to have in someone that represents you, you know, someone that really loves the community and everything. What does the next couple of years look like in terms of, what can be done? We talked to, again, Senator-elect Chris Elfheim, and you know, there is the looming idea in state government that, you know, Republicans do have both houses. That's not how it's going to be.
Mm.
And so you would think that, okay, they're going to find their inner statesmanship and start working with others. And that's yet to be seen.
Yet to be seen.
Yet to be seen, to say it politely. What can be done?
So, you know, I'm, no one will be surprised, neither the listeners or you. I'm a bit optimistic.
I know, which is great.
It doesn't mean I'm not a realist. It just means, I think there are some real things that we need to tackle, right? For the first time I've seen during this cycle, I saw both Republicans and Democrats talking about the cost of healthcare.
Yeah.
Right? I saw Republicans and Democrats actually talking about our housing crisis, right?
Yep.
We have cities, towns, and villages talking about that they don't want to keep leaning on property taxes. They need other options for revenue to fund basic services across political divides, past geography. So that, to me, there are some through lines here. You know, we ran on a lot of these things.
Yep.
We can fully fund our public schools.
Oh my God.
I mean, some of these things are easy lists. We can at least fund special education so that we're taking care of our most vulnerable students. We can address the housing crisis. This is where we actually agree with people of all political stripes that there might be too much bureaucracy in building housing, and that we can streamline it and we can fund housing of all income levels. That healthcare is too expensive and not great. And we're seeing kind of the outcomes of people not getting the care that they need, either being afforded or being denied. And that's happening again across the political spectrum. And so, I don't know, to me, there are some there are some very clear things. I mean, I know we have some issues with some folks, but we couldn't be more aligned on legalization of marijuana.
Yep.
I mean, these are things that could make tangible differences in people's lives. Do I know, both being in local government and someone interested in both policy and politics, that sometimes politics are more powerful than the policy? Absolutely. So walking in with eyes wide open. But, you know, there's four outlined things there, right? Empowering municipalities, the funding they need, funding to public safety. I mean, come on. I mean, you can't get more Republican than public safety. And like, how can we make sure that we're, you know, taking care of our fire departments and our police departments, which, you know, are, you know, giant portions of our local budgets without increasing property taxes? So those are all kind of nerdy things, but I think that there is vast majorities of consensus in the public on these issues. My hope is that this election showed us that there might be some populism that cuts across traditional party lines.
Well, I think it's wild to know, you know, we talk about underfunding of public schools. I mean, I've one of my very good friends is the president of the Green Bay Area Public Schools school board, and just learning about how much they are struggling and how much is going to charter schools that are, you know, it's horrific what's been done. And it's so funny to hear, you know, the Republicans say, we have funded these at historic increases every year. And it's like, but they're still a fraction of what they were before Act 10.
Exactly.
Don't give me that crap.
Right.
I can't say it on the radio, but like, and the untapped industry that is, we could legalize marijuana and have that pay for some of the issues, what's needed in schools.
I mean, and just to put a finer point on that, in particular voucher schools and what goes to voucher schools in our local communities are just kind of abysmal, right?
Yeah.
That we are spending millions of dollars of taxpayers in our local arena that are literally going to private schools, right? And so it's just kind of a wild notion that you could, you know, get a blank check from the taxpayers not to fund these incredible, diverse, thoughtful schools. And that, you know, I was talking to former Mayor Schmidt and I said, you know, we can talk about accountability, but if we're having school teachers paying for supplies out of their own pocket and places like Green Bay, Wisconsin, we need to we should be held accountable.
And and these schools that are getting these vouchers, they're not.
They're not.
They have no standards that they have to stand by whatsoever.
Right. Right. So to me, it's like, again, you know, I know for some people these sometimes fall along partisan lines, but you know, no one asks who you vote for when you go to Aldo Leopold.
Right.
No one asks who you vote for if you go to East or West High. Right. Right? And so I just think those are good. And just, I kind of want to name a thing that happened, this past week, where I do think we should be talking about it, which is the mass shooting.
Yep.
In Madison, and where, again, a vast majority of people know that we can do common sense gun reform. My yep. Wisconsin family are gun owners. They're responsible gun owners. They don't see any issues with universal background checks, gotcha. Red flag laws. They deeply understand that you can both be someone who both cares and is interested in the Second Amendment, has a gun, stores a gun safely and smartly, and that we can put checks and balances in place that keep students, kids, doctors, church parishioners, movie theater goers safe.
Elected officials
safe. Yeah. And so, you know, there are through lines here where vast majority of people, regardless of political affiliation, agree on these issues. And I'm hoping to see that spirit come through, that we can have our partisan fights, but let's, you know, on these vast majority, these issues that have a vast majority of support, I think we should work on those first.
Right. As we're talking with Representative-elect Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner here from the 90th Assembly District, what are things that you are going to go into and kind of start, you know, this is, I'm going to hit this hard. What?
So you and your listeners won't be surprised. One of my number one issues is housing.
Yeah.
As, you know, a formerly homeless person, I know the way that this is a cornerstone to our community in every way. Housing is the most intersectional issue that you can touch. Mm. It helps with tax rates. It helps with expansion, economic development, helps with workforce development. It determines people graduating from high school, going to two-year colleges, four-year colleges. It's where people move when they want to build a family or get married, or they just want a new environment, or they want to age in place. They have a beautiful big home in Astor, but now they want to live downtown in a smaller building. Housing really is the through line that builds a community, that's a cornerstone of our economic development, and truly makes a difference in people's lives. So, you know, I'm working on a vast array. Already have gotten some Republican colleagues to say they would support it on various things to build more housing, get rid of the barriers to building more housing, and give municipalities more tools.
What can they do?
Well, one of the big things, it's hyper nerdy.
it's okay.
Yeah,
it's all right.
So, one of the things that's
allowed,
which is that holds back housing, is that often building the housing in the increments we need them. We need not just whole neighborhoods. We need missing middle housing. That's duplexes. That's triplexes. That's smaller apartment buildings. That's smaller homes. Developers are not incentivized to build those. So one of the things that we did for JBS is we covered the cost of infrastructure, things that the public is going to use anyway: water, sewer, streets. That actually reduced the building cost by up to 20 to 30%.
You're talking about JBS. There's a huge development in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Oh, my God. Is it incredible?
And very happy to lead that. And we were able to bring all these developers in. The most, I believe, most developers applied to this than we ever had because we did the public
infrastructure. That's a whole neighborhood. I couldn't believe.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So, and we did that because we covered the infrastructure cost, which is the communities anyway. It's streets, sidewalks.
Yeah.
And by doing that on a statewide level, it accelerates the options for housing in communities by covering infrastructure costs approximately 80-20. So super nerdy, very specific, but if we cover the infrastructure costs, we can actually get more developers to build more housing. Building more housing reduces overall both rents, but also helps bring down property taxes when there's more in there because your property values will be better. So it's a win-win for everybody. It's an easy lift. We'll see what happens. But housing is really, really a big one. The second is, you know, helping municipalities get shared revenue to cover the cost so that we are actually addressing property taxes. So your property taxes don't keep going up. If we had tied shared revenue to inflation, we'd have, just in Green Bay alone, $20 million more dollars in our coffers. And so getting that done would be great.
Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner, Representative-elect, I want to talk to you as we go along because I'd love to hear how the offices are coming and all of that stuff. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being a friend of the show, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you
so
much.
We'll see you on the other end of the break here on The Rational Revolution.
You tell me that it's evil.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show. The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no healthcare policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Oh my goodness. You know, this is a fun show to do. You know, because like never in a million years would I have thought that I would have a radio show or have the opportunity to have, you know, to talk to the people that we're able to talk to every week. And it's so cool. And I am so grateful to Civic Media. And if you want to listen to more of the episodes, we'd love that. They're all available for podcast download at the Civic Media website. Check us out. We have a Facebook page. Follow that. We have all the stuff that can keep you in touch with the show. Many thanks to Senator Tammy Baldwin, holy cow, and dear friend, Assembly Representative-elect Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner for spending time with us today. They're the absolute best of the best, and I'm so grateful that they're here. And I want to touch on something briefly before we move on to other things. But if there's one thing that I would like you to get out of the show, it would be to receive the tools and the help that you can get or that you would need to kind of cut through some of the BS. And what do you mean by that? Well, here's what I mean. One of the most disappointing things for me over this last election cycle was how Donald Trump used division to get into office. And a lot of the people down the ballot just rode that wave and did it themselves. And here's an example. He took an entire community and used them as a very sharp tool to divide our country. He did. And here's the example. So remember those commercials that just went on and on and on and on about Kamala Harris is for they, them, and Donald Trump is for you. What does that mean? And so let's break that down a second. What that was referring to was it was a program that started under the Trump administration, by the way, that protected people who were convicted of a crime because they have rights too. It protected people who were convicted of a crime and were too far along with their transition, that placing them in a prison that matched their gender that they were assigned at birth, it would be dangerous. Like, putting a woman in a male prison is that would not go well at all. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. It just that would be horrible. Now, the program that they were talking about, it was used twice during the Biden administration. That program that Donald Trump, Kamala Harris is for they, them, that was something he started that they used twice in 4 years. That was it. That was it. And so let's break it down a little bit more. Eric Hovde had a commercial towards the end of that thing where they talked about, oh, Tammy Baldwin's girlfriend has the condo and the da-da-da-da-da. So what is the message there? That message was nothing to do with any votes that Tammy Baldwin took. It had nothing to do with her record. It had nothing to do with anything of her official title. The whole purpose of that commercial was to say
Tammy Baldwin is different. Tammy Baldwin is different. That was what it was. And it's frustrating because I want to go up to Eric Hovde and say the thing. Just say it. Say what you're trying to say. What do you say? What you mean? And speak it, because that's just as disgusting. And it's so frustrating, as we had two members of the LGBT community on this show as our friends and our guests. The Republican Party used that community to try to divide the country so they could win an election. That's what happened. That's what happened. Call it for what it is. And it's up to us to be able to look at those commercials, hear the radio ads. I hope you're listening to Civic Media. Then you probably won't hear a lot of that stuff. But listen and be aware and know what they're saying behind the message. Right? Know what they're saying. Now I'm going to pivot here a little bit, because this is the last episode before Christmas. And I want to wish everyone a wonderful holiday, whether you celebrate because it's Jesus or whether you want to celebrate because it's spending time with your family. I want you to have the best of times. And for me, Christmas was always my favorite holiday growing up. My birthday is the day after Christmas. And, you know, everyone growing up is, oh my God, that must suck. That's terrible. And all the credit goes to my mom and dad that it did not suck ever. They did a great job of separating the two. And I always said that, you know, it's the best time of year. People are genuinely happy. And, you know, it's time where you get to see people you don't get to see a lot. People come home, and it's just awesome. And why not want to have your birthday around the best time of year? And so that's kind of my perspective. And as a kid, you know, the magic, even when, you know, you get the key to the Santa mystery and that's unlocked, even after that, there's still magic that's there. And there, you know, it's funny. We have kids, and Santa doesn't come to our house. But my kids, my 7-year-old Ben, what he does is he does believe that Santa definitely exists. And we watch him on a great website called Flight Radar 24. So they have a thing where you can kind of track the sleigh on the radar. NORAD does that famously for however many years. But Ben doesn't want Santa to come to our house because he doesn't want someone breaking into our house in the middle of the night while he's sleeping. So we're like, fair. Fine. And it's like, you know, my presence will come from my mom and dad, and that's enough, which is wonderful. And I love that. So we watch Santa fly right over our house, and we wave to him as he goes. And our daughter, she has a little bit of a problem with that, but she understands that that's, you know, it makes Benny scared. So we don't do that. But I love that. And I love the magic that we have at our house. And it's going to be gone so much sooner than I would like. And I hope that you all enjoy every minute of the time that you get to spend with your family, whatever your family may be, whether it's friends or brothers, sisters, parents, children. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. I love you all. And we will see you next week on The Rational Revolution. Thank you so much.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, a simple way to reduce the burden on property taxpayers. Have the legislature go back to paying its fair share for special education.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants.
three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. On this weekend before Christmas, last-minute shoppers are scrambling to buy gifts. CBS News Sacramento reporter Kayla Moeller says some small stores are hoping it keeps them in business.
You know, the whole vibe of our music is fun, and this morning we were pouring mimosas, and we have some, like, Christmas cookies, and, you know, we enjoy the in-store experience.
Strapping Store says they're making about half the sales they normally do. They think online shopping could be partly to blame.
It's hard because some small businesses won't make it. And, you know, it really matters to, like, the culture and vibe of our city to keep small businesses alive.
President-elect Donald Trump told conservatives in Arizona today that the American relationship with the European Union is going to change when he's president again.
The European Union's treated us very, very badly. We have hundreds of billions of dollars with